Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into several aspects of the shooting in Arizona that claimed six lives and critically wounded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who remains in intensive care. We'll begin with Mary Rose Wilcox, who is District 5 supervisor in Maricopa County. She was shot in 1999 by a man upset by one of her votes, who admitted at his trial that he was motivated to shoot her because of hate-filled rants against her vote on right-wing talk radio. We will discuss with her and then Dan Gibson, a reporter with the Tucson Weekly, the climate of hate in Arizona, where lax gun laws and polarized politics have led to a deadly brew that the Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik has criticized, making the state of Arizona, in his words, the mecca for prejudice and bigotry. Then we will further analyze the influence of right-wing hate groups on the politics of Arizona and the extent to which they have contributed to the violence as opposed to being responsible for it. Mark Potok, the spokesperson for the Southern Poverty Law Center and editor of its award-winning quarterly investigative journal Intelligence Report and the Hate Watch blog, joins us. Then finally, we'll look into the foreign policy implications from the latest shooting outrage and massacre of innocent civilians that is unfortunately happening all too often and becoming routine in the United States. We will speak with David Rothkopf, who has an article in Foreign Policy titled, How Can a Gun-Crazed Society Lead the World? I speak with Mary Rose Wilcox, who is District 5 Supervisor of Maricopa County, Arizona. She is the first Hispanic woman to serve on both the Phoenix City Council and the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. She is serving her fourth term on what has been called the best-run county by Governing Magazine and Syracuse University. In 1997, she was shot by a man upset by one of her votes as she left a board meeting. So I imagine, Mary Rose Wilcox, the shooting of the congresswoman down there must have hit you pretty hard, having experienced the same thing yourself.
Yes, it really did. I was very moved by what happened, you know, very disturbed by it. I think all of Arizona was very upset. Gabby Gifford is a well-beloved legislature here, a congresswoman, and we just couldn't believe it could happen, and not only to Gabby, but to all of the people who got shot, those who survived, and those who got killed.
And in your case, it was somebody that was mad at you about your support for a baseball stadium tax?
Yes. What occurred is Maricopa County Board of Supervisors got authority from our state to vote in a baseball tax for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who were not even created then, but an expansion team was looked at. If we voted the stadium, we could get the expansion team. You know, the legislature was supporting it. The talk radio programs at that time came out opposing it, saying that we had no right to tax. And the gentleman who shot me and has served a long time in prison because of it, at the trial, basically said he had been listening to the radio saying that I should be taken out because of it. So he decided to take me out.
And this is the same radio that is still broadcasting. And there, I take it that a lot of the local disc jockeys who have been aggressive towards both you and the congresswoman and in support of Tea Party members are now on the defensive and suggesting that the shooter down there is a left winger or a nutcase or whatever. But nobody seems to be heeding the advice of the Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who's calling for a timeout from all of this poisonous rhetoric.
Well, I think here in Arizona, we're very hopeful that people will heed it. I know some of the talk radio shows and some of the blogs, it's discouraging because exactly what you said, they're saying this is a lone incident. It was a man who was deranged. You know, we shouldn't tie it in, but you have to tie it in. There's a climate of hate here in Arizona because of immigration, because of health reform, and we're feeling it. We felt it for about the last 2.5 years. We need to get back to civility in political discussions, and I think the radio stations who are saying it's a lone incident, they are wrong. A climate has been created here that I think has caused this to happen, and we have to change that.
But it would seem that there's more than a climate of toxic political discourse. There's also the availability of weapons. Is there any kind of – and again, the Pima County Sheriff did talk about the gun laws and the need for citizens of Arizona and of the United States to reflect on these things. He was complaining, for example, that the ability for this assassin to carry a concealed weapon without a permit was only part of a broader problem. Now, apparently, Senator Russell Pierce, who's supposedly a very powerful political figure in your state, wants to extend these gun laws further. And the sheriff was complaining, saying they want to allow students and teachers at schools to carry guns.
Well, you're right, and that's going to be a big test. We've seen what happens because of our very, very liberal gun laws. The gentleman or the young man who shot Gabby Gifford and all of the people in Tucson had bought his gun with no background check at all. He bought a 9mm Glock. And I think our laws need to be changed. When these laws came through last year that allowed people to carry concealed weapons with no permits, the police officials came out entirely opposed to it, from Sheriff Dubnyk to all our police chiefs in Phoenix and Tucson, and the legislature did not heed them. A big test will come in Arizona in about a week. Two laws are going to be introduced at the state legislature that do, as you say, allow professors and faculty, but also students, to carry concealed weapons on campus. That is going to be a big test, whether those laws will go through or not. I was at the opening of the Arizona State Legislature today, and everybody was talking about needing to tone down this violence. So I'm hoping that those bills do not pass.
But at this point, you can carry a concealed weapon into a bar.
Yes, you can.
And does anybody, I mean, when did that pass? Was there a debate? One would obviously be able to make the point that, you know, drunk and people, and sometimes you get into fistfights in bars, it just seems to be so counterintuitive to add weapons to the mix.
And those of us who oppose them fought very hard. And as I said, almost without exception, except possibly for our sheriff in Maricopa, the law enforcement community comes out opposed to these. I think we've all learned if law enforcement is going to be against something, if we're going to combat these gun laws, it has to be a unified voice. Business community, the education community, the everyday citizen is going to have to scream about it. One of the things that's happened in Arizona is we have term limits. So you have people who really don't have the allegiance to their constituencies that maybe past legislators did. They're there only for a short time because of term limits, and they're not listening to constituents. We need to bring that up. I also believe that what will come up this year that is going to be a test for Arizona is the changes to the 14th Amendment. You know, we're a border state. We have people who want to introduce bills that will basically make it illegal for undocumented people to have children in Arizona and to be given a birth certificate, a United States birth certificate. That is a major federal issue. We have no business discussing it in our state and causing divisiveness again. The immigration bill 1070 caused hate like you wouldn't believe. You know, I am a United States citizen, fourth generation Mexican American, and when I was going to sometimes rallies, sometimes meetings, I had people yelling at me, go back to Mexico, you're un-American, and a lot of other bad things. This has to stop. We've got to ratchet it down. But you're right. Here in Arizona, it's very hard with what the legislature have passed. I'm hoping that this shooting that occurred, very tragic shooting, serves as a red flag and that we all take notice and stop putting forth these bills.
Again, let me remind the audience, I'm speaking with Mary Rose Wilcox, who is District 5 Supervisor of Maricopa County in Arizona. She's the first Hispanic woman to serve on both the Phoenix City Council and the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. She is serving in her fourth term. And I take it, though, you mentioned in passing the Maricopa County Sheriff. He's quite famous or infamous, depending upon your point of view, Joe Arpaio. He, I take it, is also a very close ally of arguably the most powerful politician in the state of Arizona, Senator Russell Pierce. Am I right?
Yes, you are right.
So the governor, where would you rate her in terms of power? I mean, doesn't Pierce and his colleagues have a two-thirds majority, and they don't, even if the governor was not inclined, they could override her veto?
Well, I think the governor will be tested this year. This is her first full year as an elected official. And she did sign Senate Bill 1070, you know, the immigration bill that is now being fought in the courts. So I think the gun control, the 14th Amendment, she will be tested. I know our business community is trying to come together, trying to coordinate efforts to stop these bills because of the economic loss for Arizona, because Arizona is being hurt, our image is hurt, the economy is in the tank, and we must stop Arizona from being known as just a hate capital of the world and these crazy bills coming forward. The governor has power if she exerts herself. I think if she coalesces the business community and there's support shown, all of these people, you know, support legislators at one time or another, they have to start speaking up and say, no, we will not support you if you put forth legislation such as this. It's very hard. And as you say, Sherfer Pyle and Russell Pierce have amassed a lot of power, but I'm hoping it's power that will disintegrate once the hurt is shown that some of their efforts have put forth. I'm not blaming them for what happened in Tucson, but I think the environment that they've helped create with the bills that they put forward and the immigration raids need to stop. And I hope they're aware of that. But more importantly, I hope Arizona wakes up, particularly our business community, who can have a lot of influence at the legislature.
And what is the climate there in terms of extremist groups? Because I was talking yesterday to a reporter in Tucson, a local reporter, who said that Russell Pierce had been at meetings where spokespeople from racist radical groups, not the Minutemen, who are fairly well established, although they are, I think, by many definitions, an extremist group. But we're talking about neo-Nazis, people who have demonstrated ties to extremist groups. And following you, we'll be talking to the spokesperson for the Southern Poverty Law Center to analyze this phenomenon.
And that's very worrisome. Russell has been linked to those groups. There have been YouTube showing him with those groups, and he's denied any link with them. But you can't help but think, why would you be with them? Why would you coalesce with them? The man that wrote 1070, who claims credit for that, Chris Kovac, we're very worried about his relations. What is Russell's relationship with him? So there's a lot of fear here. I do think that people need to stand up. And in Arizona, there's a climate of fear, not only in the immigrant community because of immigration, but of other people. The sheriff has investigated people who did not believe in his stance, and that kind of investigation scared people. But little by little, we're coming out of that. We are now having federal government come in. They've intervened in 1070. They're trying to stop it. We've had them come in to investigate abuses of power. We're hoping those cases come to fruition and people are stopped from doing the evil that they're putting forth. I think, what happened in Tucson and Gabby Gifford is a symbol of somebody who was an excellent public service. And because of being demonized, because of the rhetoric and the hate, a deranged person, you know, tried to take her out. I really think that will have an effect. We have good people here in Arizona. We have people like Sandra Day O'Connor. We have people, you know, who are all of a sudden saying, wait, let's take a step back. You know, the support for the victims has been tremendous in our state. This was an eye-opener as never before and a tragic, tragic one. We cannot afford to have this happen over and over. And it will if we don't stop these hate bills from going through.
Well, just in closing, to get a clarification, Mary Rose Wilcox, who is the person that you said helped write SB 1070 and has been associated with Russell Pierce? And he's an extremist, but Russell Pierce has tried to distance himself from this person.
Chris Kovac.
Chris, what organization does he belong to?
You know, I'm not sure, but he has been known to be behind many of the anti-immigration bills that are being written. He just got elected to Secretary of State in Kansas, but he has been known to be kind of the driving force. But, you know, he was asked to come in. It's people like Russell Pierce and Sheriff Joe Arpaio that we have to have listen to reason. They are elected officials. They have to be responsible elected officials. But it's incumbent on all of Arizona to take what happened and use it as a teaching experience and stop what's happening here in Arizona from occurring again.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Mary Rose Wilcox.
Thank you, Ian.
And I'm, again, Ian Masters, and I'm just speaking there with Mary Rose Wilcox. And I'm now speaking with Dan Gibson, who's a reporter for the Tucson Weekly. Dan, just to follow on from what Mary Rose Wilcox was saying about this fellow Chris Kobach, is he significant? Because, you know, yesterday I had talked to another reporter down in Tucson who referred to, I think, J.T. Reddy and his association with Russell Pierce as a neo-Nazi. And I'm wondering whether there's enough bad stuff on the record without associating these people with Nazis. I mean, but is it – so what's the truth here?
Well, with Chris Kobach, he's currently the Secretary of State of Kansas, but he was the – he's also at the council of a group called the Immigration Law Reform Institute. So they drive a lot of the conversation about bills like State Bill 1070 and elsewhere. And they – my understanding is that he specifically wrote the legislation that was passed.
And again, to my point about the climate down there, it seems to me that there's no need for hyperbole. It's bad enough, isn't it? I mean, when you have the candidate who ran against the congresswoman inviting people to shoot M16s with him and to take her out and Sarah Palin and all this other stuff that's being discussed now, it seems that this should be a wake-up call for everybody, particularly people on the right. But now they're sort of running around, going through mental contortions to say, oh, this is all about a crazy guy, not about our politics.
Sure. It's watching the last election here in Tucson, we had two rather contentious races, Raul Grijalva against Ruth McClung, and we had the Gabrielle Giffords race as well. And they were very contentious races. It had its ugly moments, but where the people, you'd lost the sort of ability to discuss people as their issues, but instead it sort of spilled into these sort of greater demonizations. At least from my thought, I thought Gabrielle Giffords made an effort to remain above the fray there. She mostly tried to discuss what she was doing, but her opponent, Jesse Kelly, I mean, it was essentially, this woman is a tool of Barack Obama, a tool of, you know, Harry Reid, a tool of this Democratic establishment. So, I mean, you did have – you lose these people as being individuals at some times. And that's, to me at least, what's most distressing about it.
And he's running again, isn't he, this Marine Sergeant Jesse Kelly?
He was – he has an announcement that was scheduled for this forthcoming Saturday. So it's a matter of what he'll run for, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly something. I mean, he doesn't seem to be leaving the political world.
So is Dan Gibson, again, reporter for the Tucson Weekly, is there any soul-searching going on? I mean, when there's the Pima County Sheriff says we should reflect on what's happening, and he's getting jumped on by the conservative commentators, all of whom are on the defensive because he alluded to them, and Fox News tried to beat him up in an interview. So where's the reflection? Is it happening anywhere?
It seems to be. I mean, there was certainly, with any sort of event of this type of magnitude, I mean, you have that immediate grief and reflection. I mean, there were events all over town, and it seemed that you did see people from both parties, from different parts of the spectrum, coming together to mourn and to pray and to reflect on what happened. It's challenging to say what's going to happen next. I don't, with the way the legislature is, with the supermajority they have, there's no particular incentive to work with Democrats or to be moderate in any way. You have political ideologues in those positions, and it's once the grief wears off or things return to some normalcy, it's hard to imagine that there'll be some large reflection and change of course.
So What's the extent to which the rest of the nation influences? If you say there's a supermajority that Russell Pierce controls, is there any sense that the state's getting this reputation as being a kind of America's Third Reich, if you will? I mean, I know a lot of that rhetoric came around during SB 1070. So,
oh sure, it's troubling. We had an interview with last week with a Democratic legislator here, and he said his goal was to try to keep Arizona Off the Daily Show. You know, we're in that race. GQ magazine had us as the worst state in the union. It's a strange thing in that you have different cultures here. I mean, there's almost three separate sort of political mentalities. There's the people in Phoenix, and you have varying political views and challenges there. You have rural Arizona, which is generally widely conservative, and you have Tucson, which at times, you know, there's been threats, like people in Tucson will say we should secede from the state, and, you know, there is a little more of a liberal political climate down here in the city itself, although around the suburbs it goes back to being pretty conservative.
Well, Dan, I'm afraid we have such a full deck today, and I'm sorry that can we revisit this, because there's obviously a lot more to talk with, and I talked with you about, and I'm sorry we ran out of time. No. We've got to go to Mark Potok now, who I spoke with just before I came on the air, because at the present moment he's on Keith Urban on MSNBC.